We're talking, it's really awesome too. Baptism's a great picture of kind of the overall arching idea of Exodus that we're going through. That is God bringing them out, through, and into, and has a beautiful picture of that right there through the act of baptism. If you want to go to your Bibles in just a little bit, we're going to look at Exodus 14, or 13 and 14, and continue talking through this wonderful man story of God. I wonder if you have ever felt kind of boxed in. You obeyed, you prayed, you trusted, and instead of doors opening, it felt like walls were closed in. Anyone? Maybe you're there. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you're not experiencing that, or you haven't. Maybe you will. That's exactly where Israel at this moment found themselves. They had just been set free miraculously. It was incredible. Brent talked about it last week through Passover. They'd marched out of Egypt. And if you remember, they were weighed down with wealth because the Egyptians had given them all this stuff when they left. Some of them have even joined them. They're already probably singing songs of victory, but never forget that they're also leaving a place where there's been great destruction and death. So there's that tension of both that has happened through the Passover, and now God has freed them miraculously. But before long, they hit a dead end. There are, as they enter out, mountains and wilderness on one side. There is then the army we will soon see chasing them from one direction. And now they're at a dead end based upon this idea. Well, the truth is an uncrossable sea is in front of them. And some of you may feel like that. From their view, it probably brought up a lot of confusion. From heaven's view, I like this. It's God's choreography. He is doing his work, even though we can't see that. God was leading them through this experience, not the easy way, but you'll see in a minute the right way. And that's where the tension begins to get even more intense, because God's guidance rarely matches our expectations. He doesn't always take us the fastest route, the clearest path, or the most efficient way. Have you noticed that ever? We live in a culture that's obsessed with speed, shortcuts, control. And I should probably say this, I am part of a culture and I experience this desire to go through the shortcut, to do it as fast as possible. I don't know about the most efficient way, but I'd like that too. And I want to be in control. When life slows down, it seems that we often think that something must be wrong. That delay seems to mean a denial. Or detour seems to be, for some of us at least, some disfavor from God into our lives. But in God's economy, it seems that the long road is the shaping road. Faith grows slowly on wilderness roads, not express lanes. In about a month and a half, I will go to Israel on a special trip. It was not expected. It'll be a really interesting time. I think it was my first trip where I led my own team. I've probably been, some of you know, 40, 50 times at least. I take my own teams. It's not a bus tour. You ride with me. If you know me, that might be scary for some of you, in a car or a van in the Middle East. And it can be very scary, I will say that. But I remember going to the Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, and I met this little lady there, kind of gave us an introduction. She was a Holocaust survivor. And I had, this is how long ago this first trip was, I had this giant road map book. And I told her, because I was a little nervous about getting somewhere, I was going to go and take the people to the Elah Valley where David and Goliath and all this stuff happened. And I showed her this map book and I asked her, hey, here's where I need to go. It looks like I can go back out to the one and go down and around, or it looks like I can go this way, kind of this back way. I'm wondering what I should do. And she told me that I have never forgotten, and this kind of goes along with this, but she said, always, Ron, in her beautiful accent, this Jewish, you know, woman said, Ron, always go the back way, the longer way to experience the land and all that God has. And I'm like, well, I just want to go the quickest way and get there safely, right? But I listened to her and I went that back way through the forest and some beautiful places. God's way often goes that way. But it's hard for us to experience that. What's even more confusing is that he often leads people right into pressure. We'll see in this story where a dead end then turns into, go back to that choreography that he does, a divine dance, but we're not too great a dance partners most of the time. What feels like a trap often really is training. Pressure can actually have a purpose. But like the Israelites, we'll see, when we don't experience him that way, panic sets in. And we do what Israel did. We fixate on the danger and we forget God's presence. They saw Pharaoh's army coming, but missed the pillar of cloud and fire that had never left them. And isn't that all of us in some way? We live in a fear-saturated culture as well. Breaking news, anxious minds, constant noise is all around us, and we end up seeing what surrounds us instead of the one who sustains us through it all. So Israel panics and says, shockingly, I wonder if any of you do this. I know that I do sometimes. They actually, in their panic, forget everything about God. And I'm telling you the story, then I'm going to tell you the story again, then we're going to walk through the story again, all right? But because I need you to get it. They panic. And in all of this experience they had, through all those plagues, through the Passover, now they come to a place that seems like a dead end. And in their panic, they say, you know what? They rebel against the leadership and they say, you know what? It would have been better if we had just stayed in Egypt. This is interesting. I don't know that I came up with this. I think it's been said. But that nostalgia for captivity, choosing familiar slavery over uncertain freedom. That's what that is. Like they actually thought that was better than what God was currently doing. When we panic, fear sets in and that's what we do. We all have our Egypts. Old patterns, relationships, old comforts that we run back to when faith honestly feels way too risky. And underneath it all is this deeper tension that we want deliverance. I want deliverance without dependence. We want God to fight for us, but we don't want to be still. We want to wait for him to work, then move forward in faith. We love the idea of his power, but we resist the posture of surrender. And then in that, we struggle to step forward with faith and trust. And this story that we're going to look at, it's not just about escaping Egypt. Keep that in mind. It is about learning to trust the God who leads us the long way, positions us in pressure, brings us through what looks impossible so that his, this is awesome, so that his glory can be seen and our faith can be formed and shaped. And just like Israel and all of it, we'll come to this end where we need a savior who still parts seas. Who doesn't just make a way, hear me, he becomes the way. He is what we need. He is who we need. What looked like the end, it to jump to the end. But we're not at the end, okay? All right. What looked like the end on the cross became the doorway of deliverance for all who follow him. Today you remembered that. So let's see how God's pathway of deliverance unfolds in this story. This is Exodus. I'm going to read some, tell some, read some, and then we'll give you a few points, all right? Exodus 13, 17 through 22, a portion of that. When Pharaoh finally let the people go after the Passover, all the firstborn had died. God did not lead them along, hear these words, the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest way, the shortest route to the promised land. God said if the people are faced with the battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Moses took the, this is so cool, we'll come to it later. It's a little side note that will pop in there. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. Because he said, God will certainly come to help you, and when he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. This is 430 plus years later. It's awesome. The Israelites camped on the edge of the wilderness, and he guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. His presence was with them powerfully all day, all night. Exodus 14, 1 through 4. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and now camp by Phil Haharoth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon, which is supposed to be one of the gods. It's a place and a god, the god over the north, this big god, almost like Pharaoh says, oh, they're going towards the god who God has not defeated yet. And God has an answer for that as well. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, God said, and he will chase after you. I've planned this in order, what? To display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Exodus 14, 5 through 10 is all about the panic that sets in. Pharaoh and his officials change their minds. What did we do? We let them go. We need them. Our land is devastated. They're our slaves. We got to have them rebuild. And all this was going through their minds. And so he chased after the people of Israel with an army. And they had left with fist raised in defiance and all their possessions. And as Pharaoh approached, here it is, the people looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. Exodus 14 then, 10 through 18. What did they do? In response to that, they cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you that this would happen while we were still in Egypt? And we said, leave us alone. Listen to this. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. While there's a pillar of fire and a cloud hovering over them, leading them and guiding them, but that boxed in caused panic and the pressure's on. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Just stand still. Just stay firm. That sounds awesome. It's good preaching, but look at what God says next. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? I love it. Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff. Remember that from earlier? pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of Egyptians, and they will charge in after you, the Israelites. And my great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. And when my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and again know that I am the Lord. In Exodus 14, 19 through 29, it's all about the rescue. God moves to the rear of the camp, a cloud in the day and fire at night. And this darkness fell, that fire ignited and lit up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Can you imagine what that night was like? Panic, fear. And then Moses raised his hand over the sea. And the Lord opened a path through the water with a strong east wind. That wind blew all night. Can you imagine experiencing that? It turned to the seabed into dry land, and the people of Israel walked through on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. They got stuck in the mud, stuck in the rocks. The Israelites reached the other side. The Lord said to Moses, "Now raise your hand again over the sea." The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Exodus 14, 30 through 31. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. And when the people of Israel saw the mighty power of God that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses, at least for a few days. Because we're going to get to that story next. It's insanity. When we read this story, it's easy to think it only belongs to another time. God parting the waters, pillars of fire, the cloud, Pharaoh's army swallowed up by the sea. But this isn't just their story, it's also ours. Because like Israel, we all know what it feels like to stand at a dead end, to do everything right like I talked about in the beginning and still feel trapped, boxed in, and afraid. We live in a culture that says if you're following God, things should get easier. I believed that when I first did this, when I first got baptized in the Rogue River in January. I was serious. I had a broken arm. Yeah. There was no parting of the sea. It was freezing cold. I thought everything would get easier. Faith meant straight roads, fast answers, smooth sailing, but Exodus seems to disrupt that whole illusion. It reminds us that sometimes God's path feels longer because he is forming something deeper. Sometimes he leads us into pressure, not to punish us, but to prepare us. Sometimes he lets us face the impossible so we can see his power up close in our lives. The same thing that rose in their hearts and their questions and all of that, that they were experiencing, we experience and comes up in us today. So what do we do when the miracle turns into a dead end? Let's walk through just three things I have for you today. There's a ton more in here, but I won't do it today. But let's walk through God's pathway to deliverance. Number one, in your notes, if you want to keep them, there's two parts to it. Number one is God always seems to lead. I don't know if I should say always. Once in a while, some of you got some easy path, but God always leads us the long way. Here's what I want you to think in that second part of your notes. Think formation over shortcuts. Formation over shortcuts. When Pharaoh let the people go, God didn't lead them the shortest way. Why? Because he knew their hearts, which means thousands of years later, he knows your heart. Yet they weren't ready for battle, and be honest, some of us aren't either. It wasn't punishment, it was preparation. What a gracious God that would take us on a longer route because he knows what we need, way more than what we just want. He was forming a people. He's not just freeing a crowd. He's forming and shaping you. Think formation over shortcuts. He delays what we desire so he can develop what we need. Romans 5 is one of those scriptures that speaks of that like many others, where it says in verses 3-6 of chapter 5, we can rejoice too, can we, when we run into problems and trials? You like that one, huh? It's good. For we know, what do we know? That they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not, this is awesome, lead to disappointment. If I go that path, it doesn't lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly, this is something that I think we need to experience, to truly believe and experience what God is saying here for them, for us today. For we know how dearly God loves us. Do you know that he loves you? So that when some of these things happen, I stand upon that rock that he loves me because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And then listen to this. When we were utterly helpless, like them back then, like us today, what Christ came at what? Just the right time. Ooh. And what did he do? He died for us sinners. Ah. This long road that God takes us on, it builds trust, it builds discipline and spiritual resilience. Even in the detour, his presence never left them. The Lord went before them day and night. When you can't see his plan, trust his presence. Even when it feels longer. Here's what's interesting. I've preached the same principle before. Israel was out of Egypt, but I don't think Egypt was yet out of Israel. The long way was God's training ground. When God leads the long way, he's forming, this is awesome, what shortcuts we would forfeit or need to be forfeited. He's forming us and shaping us. And sometimes, though, the path he leads us on seems to make no sense until, this is the hard part, the pressure hits. Number two, God positions us in pressure. Like, here's the shocking thing, that maybe God actually positioned like he did them. He positions us in the place that we are currently at, even though the pressure is on. I don't know that he did the pressure as much as he's placed me there to now learn. Think this. This is what I want you to think. Revelation over panic. Where God's revealed. Where my own heart is revealed in all of this. So that God can come in and address those places. God just doesn't allow pressure. He is actually, it seems to me, positioning us there. Hey, the easier route would have been go that way. The faster route is this way. But I don't want him to go that way. I want him to go this way, a roundabout way, because I need to work in them and do something in them. Pharaoh thought they were trapped. The people thought they were doomed. But God even had them placing, remember I said earlier, it's in the scripture there, it's something to study out more if you'd like, Baal-zephon. He was the last, it seemed, false god of Egypt that had not yet been overthrown. So Pharaoh would think, oh, they're confused. They're heading towards our best god. I don't know if he thought that, but they're at a dead end. We got them. But God said, I've planned this in order to display my glory. What looked like confusion, we said earlier, was actually God's choreography, this divine dance. What looked like defeat was actually deliverance. What looked like the end was actually only the beginning of something. When you feel surrounded, heaven might be setting the stage for some sort of breakthrough in your life. Moses says, don't be afraid, stand firm, watch the Lord rescue today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. True, all of it. When we can't see what God sees, we only see what is surrounding us. Fear distorts my vision. We see danger instead of deliverance. We stay frozen in fear. Standing still wasn't passivity, it was trust. Like, I think it was a deeper thing. Hey, you're gonna do this. You're gonna have an internal presence of God that will give you some form of peace while you are panicking. So when I tell you to move and get forward like you need to do, but all you see is water, you'll move forward in faith because you know that I am present with you. Still hearts, steady faith, eyes fixed on God. So when God says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Faith can stand still in confidence, but step forward in obedience. The same God who led them out would now lead them through. And on the other side, faith would rise up. We'll see at the end, worship. And they'd sing and they'd remember. When God is positioning you in some form of pressure, he actually may be preparing to reveal what only faith can see. What if you approached it that way? The pressure's on. God, instead of panic, I'm kind of freaking out, I'll admit that, but man, I believe that you're doing something greater. Help me to see with eyes of faith. Help me to take steps of obedience, not because it's not scary or risky, but because you're present with me. Trust that he isn't trapping you, but wanting to transform you, which leads to number three. God leads us through. What do I want you to think? Transformation over fear. This has a transformational work to it from God. When Moses lifted his staff, the waters parted. Walls of deliverance on both sides, dry ground in the middle. God did not remove the sea. He made a way through it. Sometimes my prayers are wrong. What am I praying? God, if you just get rid of the sea, everything would be awesome for me. Ooh, that even rhymed kind of, huh? But he didn't. Sometimes deliverance isn't God taking the obstacle away. It's giving you footing through it. It's interesting to me, just to stop there for a minute, that the Egyptians got bogged down. It seems like in the mud, maybe there was this confusion, but also just a bogging down, but not the people of Israel. Maybe that was a miracle too. Dry ground versus something else. And Israel would walk through the very thing that once threatened to drown them. And when they came out on the other side, their faith had been forged. One of my mentors, a guy that I really love that I go visit once in a while in Portland, Doak, forges. Like, he heats up this metal and then he'll pound it and bend it. And he's made some really beautiful artwork. And he got me just kind of doing a rabbit hole. You guys ever do rabbit holes on YouTube? It's very dangerous. You don't do that though, but I do. So I went down this forging. I don't even have forging stuff. I'm not gonna go to my wife. She's in the kids today, so don't tell her anything, all right? But I've ordered a lot of foraging stuff that'll come in Amazon on the steps. You know, like 10 boxes. What in the world? But I watched these guys take like a bunch of bolts. It looked like garbage, kind of. And they wrapped them all together. And then through a long process, luckily sped up, they made it into this blade, this knife that they sold for thousands of dollars. I wonder, like, just our whole perspective, something that once threatened to drown you, that if God takes you through, if you will go with him to the other side, and you will walk through that forging, when you look at yourself and I'm just a big pile of bolts. I don't know if that flies with anybody really, but whatever it is for you. But the in the fire and out, the pressure, the pounding, the forging turns you into the beauty. Well, God already sees you that way. He's just shaping you into something awesome. I don't think we are willing to go through that a lot. So think transformation over panic. When the Israelites saw the mighty hand of God displayed, it says in 14:31, they feared the Lord and they put their trust in him. What looked like a dead end became a doorway. What looked like defeat became deliverance. Psalm 77, 19 and 20. Your road, this is one of the many psalms that speaks of the Red Sea experience. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters. I love this line, a pathway no one knew was even there. What? You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. God, lead us. Lead us in places where we don't even see the pathway. God didn't just bring them out of Egypt. He brought them through the impossible and into a whole new identity as his people. He even had them carry, this is go back to that part of the story. He even had them carry the bones of Joseph 430 plus years later, reminders of his past faithfulness on the way to a new future. Man, there's moments you just stand upon the promises of God. In this case, 400 and some years later. Step forward in faith. He will make a way through. When God leads you through, fear gives way to faith, and faith gives birth to worship. And that's where we are. Where every journey with God leads, panic to praise, fear to faith, chaos to worship, from a dead end to deliverance. And deliverance isn't just escape, it's transformation. Which leads me to the one that I love talking about the most, Jesus. From a dead end to deliverance. I wonder, while the worship team comes, where do you feel boxed in right now? Where are you at a dead end? Where does it feel like the way forward is gone? Is it a relationship? Something from the past? Is it a diagnosis that you've received? Is it a waiting season that you find yourself in? What point of confusion are you in? What looks like confusion? We said this already a couple times, might be God's divine dance, his choreography. What looks like a dead end might be a doorway. What looks like defeat might be the setup for deliverance from God, for God. For the Lord will fight for you. For I believe that God's presence, God's power still parts seas. His glory still writes deliverance stories. His long way is still the shaping way. We see this in the life of Jesus. Formation, his preparation in the wilderness. He took the long way of obedience and trust. Revelation, he calms the storm. He commanded the wind and waves in one of the stories of the Gospels, Matthew 8:27. And the disciples' experience with him, they would say this when they saw him calm all of that they were experiencing that storm, he would calm it, and they would say to themselves, who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him. And transformation, Jesus' death and resurrection, the ultimate dead end, death itself became the doorway of deliverance for all who believe, for all of you in here. Jesus is the greater Moses. He is leading us through sin and death into new resurrection life because of what he has done. The same power that split the sea now splits the grave, makes a way for you to walk in freedom. And as I told you earlier, he just doesn't make a way through the sea, though. He is the way. Stand with me, will you? I read this It's about Israel, but about us as well. Look at Isaiah 43. There's a little portion here. I just love it. I'm the Lord who opened up a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called from the mighty army, called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But look at what he says. This is so, man, I just want to sit in it for a minute and say, yes, Lord, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See? I've already begun. Do you not see it? One of the things that I believe he's saying is it's Jesus. Do you not see him working? Is there not something in you that says I'm panicking, I'm with great fear, but if this is true, I'm going that way. Do you not see it that some people have surrendered their entire life to him because of what he's done? They got nowhere else to go except to him. I'm one of them. There are moments when I don't understand him and I just cry out the same as the disciples. Who is this man? Maybe today you're standing at your own Red Sea, facing something that feels too deep, too heavy, too impossible, but the same God who led Israel through the waters is still leading us, doing something new yet ancient. He hasn't forgotten you. He's not finished yet. Feels like a dead end might just be the place where his power breaks through. So today, let's lift our eyes off what surrounds us and fix them on who sustains us. Let's trust the God who still makes a way where there is no way. Lord, thank you that you still part seas. Sometimes not around us, but through us. When fear rises, teach us to stand still and see your work, your salvation. When you say move forward, give us courage to step out in faith. Would you turn our panic into praise and our waiting into worship? You are the God who delivers, and we give you glory for the great things you have done and are still doing. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. I believe that in response to that, if you follow Jesus, our only response is a declaration of praise. Exodus 15, 1 through 2 leads into next week's story. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He hurled both horse and rider into the sea. For the Lord is my strength. He is my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Israel would never stop singing about the Red Sea. They have never stopped. It was like their soundtrack of remembrance. It's where they discovered who God really was, and it's where we do as well. So it responds in praise. So maybe our Red Seas today, right now, will become a song and a stage for worship, turning our panic into praise, fear into faith. So as we sing this song, Great Things, right? You didn't switch it on me. Okay, good. Maybe it's through that God will begin to settle our hearts because we trust that he will make a way. We'll sing. If you need prayer, come let us pray with you. I'll come back and give you a blessing at the end. In Jesus' name. Let's sing.